Thanks, Di.
Well, it's an absolute privilege always to share the Word of God. I love the Word of God. I love the privilege of sharing. I treat it as an honor always. And I just want to say that, you know, I love the Word of God. But, you know, I also love the Holy Spirit. And you know that the Scripture is the Holy Spirit's breath. We can't say, well, I'm a Word person and not a Holy Spirit person. If we're a Holy Spirit person, we're a Word person. And if we're a Word person, we're a Holy Spirit person. And you can't be a Holy Spirit and a Word person without being a Jesus person. Because, you know, that actually, he leads us to reveal Jesus Christ. And I mean, that's what Jesus said. He said, the Scriptures point to me. And that's the whole effect of the Scripture should be that we fall in love with Jesus more. And obviously the context of Scripture, when we actually are speaking about Scripture, you know, we can talk about hermeneutics and homiletics and that. But if it doesn't actually focus and point, as Tyron has kept us on track, to Jesus, then actually it loses its way. And doesn't matter how clever a person is in terms of understanding the context of Scripture, if it doesn't lead to Christ, we're lost, aren't we? You know? And you know, it's a funny thing that if it does point to Christ, somehow it always keeps us on track. So really, I mean, I love the fact that Tyron is steering us the way that he is. I mean, it just every time I come, I'm just inspired. I go back really full. And today, I have a message just to hopefully expand our thinking. You know, that we actually, Jesus' kingdom is expanding. You know, sometimes we can get caught up in like the small kingdom mentality and think, well, we're just going to go deep. But you know, as we heard the prayers today, I just thought, geez, you know, Canada's a wide nation, isn't it? It's a beautiful, wide nation. And that's in the heart of God, is that it's a wide nation. And that his kingdom is wide. It's wide. God wants to expand the territory we occupy, both as individual churches, but also in our partnership. He wants to expand. He wants us to think like people that have got a vision for expansion. Just think of all the scriptures Jesus spoke of concerning growth. And we heard yesterday Tyron speak about the context of actually where we, as a church, we're in the context of the gospel, and the gospel's in the context of the kingdom. So when we look at the kingdom, it gives us an idea of what God actually intends, what Jesus intends. And he speaks often about, in many parables, about the kingdom. So I'm just going to read a couple of scriptures, and then hopefully we can go from there. There we go. Mark 4 and verse 31 to 32 says, the kingdom, it is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes this largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade. And I had a picture of this mustard seed is really small. It can start off small. You know, a lot of times when we think about smallness and we think, okay, this is just a small grouping of people, you can be trapped in that. Because you don't see the potential of that smallness in the fact of what God has got it to be. He's got a big, big, he wants it to be big. That's what he says. This is what that scripture says. Let's go to the next scripture. Next scripture, Mark 25, 16 to 17 says, the man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. So Jesus not only says that my kingdom is going to expand, and this is what the kingdom is like, he also speaks to us and says that we should be expansive. In other words, there should be growth. There should be an expansiveness. It shouldn't be like a lot of times the guy got that talent taken away from him because he took it and he thought, well, I'm just going to look after what I've got. You know, he didn't want to take risks. He didn't want to do anything with it. You know, and it requires work to do something. You've got, in order, it's you can't just sit with something that God gives you because otherwise it doesn't expand. You have to put it to work. And so the kingdom of God, all these parables speak about this expanding kingdom. Let's go to the next one. Matthew 13 and verse 23. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is a man who hears the word and understands it, and he produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times that which is sown. So it's not even like we see in the kingdom of this world, which, you know, you go to the bank, you might get 2% interest. I mean, in South Africa, we used to get like about 7% interest. When we come here and we put your money in savings and you don't even get like 0.5%. And I think to myself, what's wrong with this picture? You know, that's like, this is the kingdom of this world, is to charge you as much and give you as little as it possibly can. But it's only in percentages. In the kingdom is about this multiplication, this expansion. And that's what God wants us to think about, is that this is our expansion. When we think about the kingdom, there should be this expectation of growth in every way. In every way. Our collective impact is determined by our individual response to both our local and translocal mandate. All right? And we can think small and then we remain local. We remain just in the small little place. We bury the talent. But God doesn't want us to do that. We've got to understand that His kingdom is expansive. Whenever we look up at the stars, I mean, that's what He did with Abraham. He didn't say, listen, I want to just tell you, I want to whisper in your ear, you're going to have a kid, and then that kid's going to have another kid, and that kid will have 12 kids, and then after that. He didn't do that. What did He say? Come, let me show you. Can you see? Do you want to know how expansive God's kingdom is? Go and look at the sky. You know, people can't understand it. If you're not a Christian, why God made this expanse? Why? Did He have to? No. But He says, because I'm expansive God. Expansive God. We must cultivate the soil of our heart so that we can be fruitful and expansive. We can't just remain sort of this. From a biblical perspective, so if we go and we take these scriptures, I've given you like a few scriptures that tell us that the kingdom of God is expansive. It's expanding. God wants to expand in our life. You have to actually have a mandate from the Lord specifically to actually have, this is how much we've got. Not, you know, that's not the natural thing. You'd have to be called to that specifically by God. Because whatever we see in Scripture, as I've shown you the Scripture, it speaks about this expansiveness. And that's what I really felt in my heart coming here. I felt, and I feel like this whole time that we've been here, there has been this expanding. You know, the sense of really expanding our hearts. And that's what I want us to expand our hearts, expand our thinkings. Now, from the biblical, which I've given you, that the kingdom is expansive, let's go to a little more to the specific. And this scripture that we have from Isaiah, we've had it prophesied over us a couple of times, but it's such a wonderful scripture. And I think it's apt in terms of how it speaks to us in terms of becoming expansive people. And so I'm just going to read it quickly and then just bring something out from it. And I haven't had a time, we've got like three mountaintops, so there's only a couple of cities there. We haven't got Vancouver or some of the, or Victoria or one of the others, you know, or Edmonton. I'd love to put all of them there because, you know, God is inclusive, you know, He includes the whole world, all right? But Isaiah 54 says, 1-3 says this, "Sing, O barren woman, you who have never borne a child. Burst into song, shout for joy, you who are never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left, and your descendants will dispossess the nations and settle in their desolate cities." What a powerful promise that we have in that Isaiah scripture. And I believe it speaks, it's saying, basically, you know, this is a small mustard seed. It doesn't look very significant. It doesn't look like something that you would think that there is a lot of potential in. And that's what God often speaks to people who don't see a lot of potential. But that's precisely the people He speaks into. Because He knows that He can plant His seed. They can't do it themselves. He has to do it. So what does it require for us to become an expansive people? Well, I think that the scripture, and I'm just going to bring out some of those. The first thing that I see here is faith evidenced in praising Jesus for what he has promised. Now, a lot of times, that's why it's so important to wait on God for him to promise. We heard about, actually, you got to get the call from God for yourself. You can't give it to somebody else. It has to be specific to you. God has to call you. And he's the one that speaks. We place faith, not in what we sort of, it's not on a wishful thinking. A lot of times people hear, oh, this person's trusting God for that, and that's what they've spoken, therefore I can go and do the same and trust that. You can't. You can only trust God for what he's spoken. You know, so he promises this. Now, praising Jesus ahead of what he has promised is the evidence of faith. When God promises, then we praise. This is faith. We praise not in the abundance, but in the barrenness. You see, we praise Jesus in the abundance, that's thankfulness, but that's not faith. You see, once you've received what has been promised, you no longer need faith, do you? If you've got what God has promised you, then you praise him because of what he's done, not what he's about to do. So God speaks this. He says, sing, praise. So for us to actually, to part of the work that God does in us when he speaks to us about expansion or doing something is for us to really sing and praise him for the promise he's made. A lot of people, they will do it the first time. They'll come, they'll hear the message. They say, God's spoken to you. They'll praise him once, and they'll leave that scripture, and they'll go on to the next thing. And then they forget, and only maybe a year later, they come back, and they think, well, why isn't it happening the way that I expect it to happen? But they don't hold this word that God has given and say, praise you, Jesus. You have promised. Your promise, it's not based on me. I just have to praise you that you want me to position myself in faith, as we've heard this last couple of days. And we do that by praising Jesus for the promise he has made. All right? That's the evidence. Praising. Now, praising of Jesus must be genuine. You know, I can even share now this and say, this is what you have to do. And you say, well, okay, Kirk said we must do that. But then that's not genuine, is it? Genuineness is actually really having that revelation of Christ, as we say, for yourself, and then praising Jesus for it. You know, you can see when people are praising Jesus because they believe this is the mechanism that's going to make it work. It doesn't make it work. You know, it's not like that. It has to be genuine. You know, it has to be genuine. You have to have the sense of revelation in your heart. God has spoken, and I believe that's what God is speaking. I believe that's been the theme of this. So we can take this to the bank as a community. We can take it to the bank and say, hey, man, I praise Jesus because we're going to see expansion. We are going to see it, and I'm going to praise it. We praise him now before it happens because that starts to enlarge us. That starts to make us think differently. I praise him irrespective of what he will do, not because of what he will do. So there is a sense in which, as I said, in order for praise to be genuine, you might sort of, I can sell you a great vision of like, this is what God wants to do in Canada. And you think, well, now I'm going to praise him because that's what he's going to do. Praise him is irrespective of whether he does something. We have to have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in our heart. Whether he does it or whether he doesn't, I'm praising him. Because our inheritance afterwards is absolutely guaranteed. You know? It's absolutely guaranteed. But we have to praise Jesus for the promises he gives in order to expand our thinking and our faith. That's how we do it. And something really happens when we do that. All right? My excitement is actually about his kingdom expanding and not actually mine. Although I share in it. This is a wonderful thing. You know, when we come here and we see God's kingdom come, all right, man, I'm so excited. But I'm excited because it's his kingdom. I get to share in it, but it's his kingdom. You know, otherwise, again, what happens is we get into a place where we put all these things in place so it becomes like a marketing tool that actually we can reach out to people and really get them in. But that's not what it's about. We just see God's kingdom as an expansive kingdom. That's what we changed because of that. And we become expansive people. And we start to expand in ourselves. Everything that I say after this, some of these handles that I'll give, flows from this understanding of actually this faith in an expanding kingdom. So it really is important that this part is the first in place, because this is the part where it's an encounter with God, encounter with what He's doing and us responding, rather than putting the next few things that I say into place and then saying, okay, well, that's the mechanism that's going to make it happen. So when we think that, we have to have faith, and everything flows from that. Vision is fulfilled because evidence-based faith. Vision is fulfilled because evidenced faith precedes the vision. And the evidenced faith is how we praise God before it happens. When He speaks. You see, God wants us to actually trust Him when He speaks, not when He's fulfilled the thing He's spoken. So we must remember that in our hearts. You've got to say, do you believe that God really wants fruit? Do you believe it? See, that's part of it. I hope to excite something of faith within you to say, yes, I believe it. I believe it. I see it in the scripture. I believe it. Then you can take a hold of it. So this is what we do. So there must be it always precedes vision, is actually praising God for what He's promised. That's the first thing, most important, because it's an interaction between you and God. Large thinking with no corresponding activity is wishful thinking. Okay? So just to, large thinking with no corresponding activity is wishful thinking. A lot of times we say, well, God's promised, that's all I have to do, and that's cool. No, God wants to enlarge our thinking, and then we have to stretch our activeness. You can't just say, well, because that's what, I mean, it is. It's, being in the church with having faith, one of the things that I found is that sometimes what happens is I tend to like think, well, okay, it's up to God. I don't have to do anything. I just have to sit and whatever. That's not the way God works. I mean, then we won't participate in His kingdom. We don't have the privilege. Just think about, you say to me, don't preach to God. I can't. I have to. Because God has given us an opportunity. He doesn't have to. He could save everybody. He could do it all Himself if He wants to. He's just given us the privilege to do something so that we can, you know, to stretch ourselves in activity so that this thing can be fulfilled and that we can participate. So that when we share in the joy of His kingdom in the future, you can say, well, man, you had a part to play in it. Now, you didn't have to. I included you. I didn't have to. You must remember that. He doesn't have to include us. But He does, so that we can experience the joy of participation in that. So we have to, if we enlarge our thinking, saying God is going to, He wants to expand us, then we have to stretch ourselves into the corresponding activity. And God has started to challenge us, certainly as a church, with how we would do things differently, particularly if our church was larger. You know, sometimes when you're smaller, you do things with less excellence because you think, well, there's only a few of us, so who really cares? And that sort of doing activities like that becomes an excuse for laziness, you know, because we feel, okay, well, we're not that big. But think for yourself. The Lord said to me, think for yourself. If we were like reaching thousands of peoples, how would you do it? How would you do the things you would do? So I challenge our worship team. I say, now if you were ministering to thousands of people, how would you do it differently? If you were greeting people at the door and there were thousands of people going, how would you do it? Because you see, that's a corresponding activity of thinking big when you're still small. You know, you can start to change your thinking and then your activities start to follow in a different way and you do things a little bit differently. And again, this is for His kingdom. It's not like a mechanism to you know, expand our kingdom, but we want to participate in expanding His kingdom. Would we do things with greater excellence? Would we give more of ourselves if we were in a bigger environment? So sometimes we wait. We'll say, well, when we get there, then we'll do it a little bit better. Instead of saying, you know what, I'm going to give Him everything I've got now. You know, and that's where He tests us, doesn't He? He says He can be entrusted with just a little. That person I can trust with a lot. Okay? So do things, your activities, stretch yourself so that your activities match your large vision and your large thinking. And that just for us as a church, but what we have a global mission in our partnership. We have to envision ourselves for this big picture, but then we have to stretch ourselves in activeness as if we were already there. So this is not just about our local community and our local church. We're in a partnership here. I love our partnership. I have to say, I love it. And we when we participate, every time you participate in our collective, what we're doing globally, actually, you've got to stretch yourself. It takes an effort to get here, to give up time, all right? But that's part of the stretching. And God says, man, you do that, and guess what I'll do? I can see you entrusted with little. I'm going to trust you with more. You see? And we got to think like that. We could think just like a church, a local church, and say, you know, well, okay, we're going to just reach our city. But man, we've got this wonderful world. And you, all of you, have got to come. We're many nations. I'm a Canadian with a South African accent. I am. I was born in Iqaluit, lived there till 4 years old. I'm real Canadian from the north. I know you guys don't believe me, but I am. Anyway, I love our partnership that we have with so many people, nations getting together. What I loved about this is that actually we can connect with one another no matter where we are. People come from all over the world, and we connect with people around. I say, Lord Jesus, I see this in the book of Revelation. We're seeing it. Isn't it wonderful? So let's sow and invest into that. Not just let's think small and local. We must think global. And then we might reach Canada. Amen. Lengthen your influence. And one of the things that I felt like in us is that we need to increase your circle. A lot of times we keep our circles what they are. You know, you get to know a number of people. I mean, our church, we've got once you've been going for 3 years, everybody's exhausted their circle. They've invited their friends to church and their family, but then that's where it ends because they don't increase that circle. They don't look for other relationships. I mean, Jesus used the parable of the money, of the wise person. He says, you must be like the world. Get money so that you can get friends and influence. So we must increase our circle. Say, Lord God, where can you stretch me in increasing my circle? So that God wants to enlarge your influence, but there's something you have to do to actually do that. And you could remain tight and say, well, I've got my friends and I've got my family and that's where I'm going to exist. And then what happens very shortly is that you never see people getting saved because nobody's extending their circle. It's exhausted. We have to extend the circle. We have to ask God for capacity to actually stretch out and reach out. God wants us to be expansive and he wants us to influence and get out there. Do whatever it takes. I mean, God challenged us this last week. Well, challenged me anyway. I don't comment a lot on Facebook. I mean, I see what's happening on Facebook. I know that Facebook's important for our church and that. And I just thought, the Lord just challenged me with this. Man, where does a community exist today? Where do they exist? They exist online, on their Facebook. Now, I'm not saying there's real dangers, and I spoke about the dangers of Facebook, but that's only a mechanism of communication. You know that, I don't know if, you know, statistics can be different, but certainly one of the statistics they say about Canada is that it is per capita the most engaged nation in Facebook. It's a mechanism of communication. We could just withdraw from it. And communication is our business. Just a little... Increase your influence. Beware of the dangers. And lastly, strengthen your bond. And I really feel that relational strength increases your capacity for growth. So it says, strengthen your cord, strengthen that bond. We need to strengthen our bonds between one another. This coming together that we do it once a year, but we should make friends, and we strengthen our bond both in our partnership but in our local churches, so that when God gives the increase, the bonds don't break. Because often happens when new people come in, the old people get jealous and they leave. They think, okay, no, I don't like this. But we've got to increase our strength of bond, and then we have the capacity to actually, when the people come in that God gives us, we'll have an expanding kingdom. I want to leave just that with you. We are involved in an expanding kingdom. We need to do those few things. Expand our thinking. Expand your thinking. We need to praise God for what He's promised. And He will do abundantly above all that we can imagine. I'm so excited by what we have together. But He's going to do so much more. Amen.